Vaikunya Kita Kalita, Aishunya Brana Pidita, Jainyana Venigatnoham, Chaitanya Vaidyam Ashraye.
I am infected by the germs of material activity and am suffering from the boils of envy. Therefore, falling in an ocean of humility, I take shelter of the great physician, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone repeat after me. I am infected by the germs of material activity and of suffering from the boils of envy. Therefore, falling in an ocean of humility, I take shelter of that great physician, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Jaya Jaya Kripa Maya Nityananda Tanya. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Kripa Maya Nityananda Danya. Jaya Jaya Kripa Maya Nityananda Tanya. Everybody. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Kripa Maya Nityananda Danya. Jaya Jaya Kripa Maya Nityananda Danya. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Kripa Maya Nityananda Danya. Jaya Dvaita Kripa Sindhu Jaya Bhakta Kan Jaya Swarup Gadadhara Rupa Sanatan. I offer my all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. Indeed, he is most glorious and merciful. I offer my respectful obeisances to Advaita Prabhu, the ocean of mercy, and to all the devotees such as Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Sri Sanatan Goswami. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in this verse, is revealing the nature of a great personality. In this particular chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is of a very, very elevated nature. It is the story of Pradyumna Mishra, who approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a very, very deep yearning to hear about Krishna from him. Lord Chaitanya came to this world to teach by his own example and through the lives of his pure-hearted devotees. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was regularly exhibiting in his private quarters of Gambira the most elevated symptoms of ecstatic love,
Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam.
He's exhibiting the ecstasies of the pure love of Srimati Radharani. Radharani's love is supreme, and there is no one that can compare. She possesses Mahabhav. She can control Krishna by the power of her love. Krishna Madan Mohan, he can infatuate, intoxicate, and subdue the mind of Cupid, who is controlling the entire material universal creation by his charming powers. But Srimati Radharani, the quality of her love, the intensity of her ecstasy upon seeing Krishna, conquers Krishna. So that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna coming to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's supreme love. When Pradyumna Mishra is very eagerly inquiring from Lord Chaitanya about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, with much sincerity and humility, he says, actually, I do not know about Krishna. I am not expert at this topic. Whatever I do know, I have learned from Ramananda Rai. If you really want to taste the sweet nectar of Krishna consciousness, you should go to Ramananda Rai. So Pradyumna Mishra goes. And Ramananda Rai is busy. So the assistant of Ramananda Rai tells Pradyumna Mishra, I will go tell that you have here. Please wait. Pradyumna Mishra waited for hours and hours and hours, and no one came. And he happened to inquire, you know, what is Ramananda Rai doing? And he was told what he was doing. He was very much bewildered then. Ramananda Rai would compose beautiful poetic dramas to be performed only for Lord Jagannath. Others were not supposed to see it. It was simply for the pleasure of the deities. This is a very special quality. In many places, the deity is something like a public advertisement to bring people to come. Yes? If you somehow or other make a nice story about your deity and dress your deity nicely and worship the deity nicely, then people will come and they will become followers or they will give donations, and very nice. So in that sense, the deity is kind of used for the purpose of the people. But in this sense, Ramananda Rai is spending tremendous efforts writing these dramas, beautiful dramas, Jagannath Ballabha Nataka. And he's also personally training the actors. And it's only meant for the pleasure of the deities. Now, we cook for the pleasure of the deities, but we know that we're going to get the prasad.
and distribute the prasad. But in this sense, there's no prasad that's going to be passed out from this drama, except just Lord Jagannath's smile.
So he was actually enacting the wonderful, sweet, dramatic performances and dances of the gopis of Vrindavan. And he would take girls, young girls called Devi Dasis, and train them to dance with the same types of emotions as the Braj Gopis. And he would prepare them to look as similar as possible to gopis for the pleasure of Jagannath. Well, this is inconceivable. We'll get to that later. And he was so much eager for Lord Jagannath to enjoy the performance and to enjoy the beauty of these Devi Dasis that he would personally, with his own hands, massage them with scented oils. He would personally decorate them. He would personally, you know, help them move their bodies in such a way that they could exhibit the loving emotions of the damsels of Braj. He would massage them. He would decorate them. He would anoint them with scented perfumed oils. So Pradyumna Mishra heard this, that this is the person that's going to tell me about Krishna. Very difficult. So at the end of the day, Ramananda Rai appears and he meets Pradyumna Mishra, and Ramananda Rai, so humble, with folded palms, he's apologizing. He's saying, actually, I'm sorry, I kept you waiting so long, but my assistant never told me you were here. And it was true. Sometimes assistants are like that. We have that experience. Important messages, they happen to forget. Insignificant messages, they're very, very strict about. So Ramananda Rai, how can I serve you? And Pradyumna Mishra said, it's already too late. I will go back. So he went back to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was so eager. Oh, did you hear Hari Katha? Did you hear about Krishna from Ramananda Rai? Lord Chaitanya was so eager for this devotee to get the mercy of his devotee. This is a special quality of the Lord. The Lord is so happy and so eager when someone gets the mercy from his devotee. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, they're more happy to give their mercy through their devotee than they are directly. This is a historical principle. In the battle of Kurukshetra, during this speech of Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, Krishna showed Arjuna his universal form. There was no problem with him defeating the Kurus. He could have done it in a second. All he had to do was just inhale, and all the Kurus would have just been devoured by him. Yes, while he was showing universal form, he was showing Arjuna, all he had to do was just face the direction of Kurus and poof. Did you ever think of like that? There's the universal form destroying everything. He's seeing the future. The Lord could have made the future the present and poof, finished. But he wanted Arjuna to get the credit. He wanted to, through Arjuna, do something wonderful for the whole world. It wasn't Arjuna. It was Krishna. Krishna's the doer, the ultimate doer. He's the ability in man. The evidence of this was some years later, after Krishna left this world, Arjuna was trying to protect Krishna's queens, and a band of infidel cowherd men attacked them. Now Arjuna was just fighting the most powerful warriors in the world. Somadat, Bhishma, Drona. I mean, these are Mahakarna. They're Maharatis. And here's some cowherd men. They don't have astras and brahmastras. They have sticks. And they defeated Arjuna. They defeated him. Krishna wanted to show the world. And it wasn't that Arjuna was an old man then. He was in his full strength and glory. You know, sometimes these strong athletes, boxers or something, they can conquer anyone, but then when they get old, everyone conquers them. Yes? Or athletes. They're very great champions, but when they get in their 30s or 40s, then all these young people just come and crush them. Yes? So that's old age. But Arjuna wasn't old. He was full of his life, his vigor, his power. But ultimately it was all Krishna's power. Do not be proud of borrowed plumes, is the word of the British. That whatever we have belongs to Krishna. Whatever property we have, whatever knowledge we have, whatever strength we have, whatever abilities we have, it's all Krishna's. And he can use us, if we allow him to use us according to his will, that's the perfection of life. But when we utilize what Krishna gives us separate from his will, then all the karma of bondage comes into our lives. That's really the difference between truth and illusion, between reality and delusion. Reality is Sarvalokamaheshwaram. Everything is coming from Krishna. Everything is the property of Krishna. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimutatma kartahamiti manyate. So therefore, if whatever I am, whatever I have, whatever I can speak, whatever I could do, it's all coming from Krishna. He's empowering me. Let me reciprocate and utilize it to show my love for Krishna. The soul's nature is to love Krishna. The soul's nature is to express that love through service. Even in this world, love is expressed through service. Lust is exploitation, but love is service. If a man goes to a prostitute with lust, he's not serving her. He's exploiting her, and she's exploiting him. Yes? She's taking his money, and he's taking her body. It's just exploitation. But where there's love, there's the willingness to make great sacrifices for the welfare of our beloved. We're willing to go through hardships. Real love, we're willing to die for the sake of the person we love. That's what love is about. Service. The parents are serving the children because they love them. And when the children get older, or if they love the parents, they will serve their parents. Yes? And lover, husband, wife, real love is they serve each other through, at the time of marriage, that's the vows you take. Through better or worse. This is in the West. I don't know. Of course, in the yajnas here, you're basically saying the same thing. But in Sanskrit, most people don't even know what they're saying. But for better or worse, in life or in death, in happiness or distress, we will be for each other. Yes? Till death do we part.
they don't know about sannyas in that culture.
That's love. It's a relativistic conception of love within this world, but it's based on service, not based on exploitation. It's based on service. So, it is the nature of the soul to love Krishna. Therefore, jivera swarupoi krishnara nityadas. Thus, it is the nature of the soul to serve Krishna. Because without service, our love is unsubstantial. Anyone can say, I love God. But the question is, what are you doing for God? Who cares if you love Him? Do something. Love has to be expressed. If you love someone, every word, every action, every thought will be connected for the pleasure of the Lord. Talk is cheap. Anyone can talk. Anyone could say, I love you. But what does that mean? Are you willing to make sacrifices to serve the other? And love of God, that is the ultimate culmination, the summit of all love. It's the essence. It's truth. The absolute truth is to love Krishna. And that means manifested through service. So devotional service, or bhakti, is both the ends and the means. That is the very, very special quality of bhakti that the other yoga systems cannot claim to have. When you're doing Ashtanga yoga, asana, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, dharana, dhyan, pratyahara, samadhi. Yes? Samadhi is the goal. But when you merge into the Brahmajyoti, are you going to be doing asanas? There's no body to do asanas. Are you going to be doing pranayama? Are you going to be doing yama niyama, you know, just discriminating what is the right thing to do and what is the proper attitude? You're not even going to be doing meditation. Yes? So mukti is the goal, and all of these yogic rules, regulations, and systems are the way to achieve the goal. So the goal and the way to achieve the goal are very different. Yes? In the process of jnana, we study the scriptures. We discriminate. Vivek. We learn to discriminate. What is real and what is not real? What is truth and what is illusion? Neti, 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 neti. Not this, not this, not this, not this, and not this, and not that either, and not anything else. But when you actually attain mukti, everything's one big neti. There's nothing to negate. Yes, there's nothing to negate anymore. Here we're saying, not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not anything else. But there in the Brahmajyoti, there's nothing to negate. It's just divine light. So the end and the means are different. But in bhakti, bhakti means devotional service. Some people, they define bhakti as devotion. But the great acharyas, they made it specific. Devotion means service. If you have devotion, you serve. Devotional service. That is the means. And what is the end? Jivera swarupoi krishnara nityadas. Eternal service. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, the goddesses of fortune and the residents of the holy kingdom of the Lord, they are eternally serving by Narayan with love. In Goloka or Vrindavan, the gopas, the gopis, the grass, the flowers, the cows, the rivers. Everyone is serving Krishna with love for all of eternity. That is love. So this is the special power of bhakti. What we are doing today is our eternal nature. And the difference between the conditioned state and the liberated state is just the consciousness in which we do it. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. What does that mean? That this Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names in congregation, has descended from Goloka. That means it is eternally taking place in Goloka. And we're doing it here, right in Mumbai, which appears to be very far distance from Goloka. But actually, what is the difference between chanting Hare Krishna here and chanting Hare Krishna in the highest realm of the spiritual world? The difference, we're chanting the same mantra, we're worshipping the same Lord, the difference is just the purity of our consciousness. Here we chant Hare Krishna to purify our heart. Cheto darpana marajanam. Om pavitra pavitrova. Krishna is all pure. And Krishna is non-different than his name. Nama chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. He's absolutely non-different than his name. The name is Chintamani. The name will fulfill all of our innermost desires. So when we chant Krishna's name, we are associating with Krishna, and that is the most purifying experience that anyone can possibly undergo. So here we're chanting to purify from the anartas, from the lust and the envy and the anger and the greed and the pride and the illusion. But through the process of chanting, when we become completely pure, then we will continue chanting, but we will chant in ecstatic, liberated state of love. Supreme liberation is prem, love for Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Ramchandra, all these great descents of the Supreme Lord, they wanted to teach what is love. The Lord prefers to give the credit, the honor, and the glory to his devotees rather than doing it himself, although he's empowering the devotee. That is a reciprocation of love. The devotee takes no credit, gives it all to Krishna, and Krishna wants to give the credit to the devotee. In this world, people are fighting each other to get the credit. But in the spiritual world, people are fighting to give the credit. But it's a very different type of fight. One is a fight of ego, and one is a fight of humility and love. Isn't it incredible? It's almost impossible to comprehend. Krishna wants to give all the credit. That whatever I know about Krishna is coming from Ramananda Rai. This is what he's broadcasting. And Ramananda Rai is saying that Lord Chaitanya, he is the veena player and my tongue is just the veena string. Yes? He's just making it vibrate and making all these sweet sounds. I don't know what I'm talking about. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'm just a sannyasi. I'm just floating in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. What do I know about Krishna? It's only because of Ramananda Rai I know these things. This is the spiritual world. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, I don't know about Krishna. Go to Ramananda Rai. And he was so eager to hear from Pradyumna Mishra what he heard from Ramananda Rai, what mercy he received. So if you want to make Krishna happy in this world, don't try to approach him directly. If you really want to give him bliss,
take his mercy from his devotee. Krishna is more pleased with that. Mad bhakta puja pyadika. If you honor and grateful and worship his devotee, he's more pleased than if you worship him directly. But what does a devotee do? He just teaches you how to worship Krishna. Krishna wants you to worship the devotee, but the devotee wants you to worship Krishna. And you have to do what the devotee says. Yes? Is that confusing? It's actually very simple. The way we honor a devotee is by worshiping Krishna. That's the way we worship a devotee. But we have that gratitude. We're receiving that mercy through the devotee. And Krishna is so happy. He's so blissful when he sees that we're receiving mercy from a Vaishnav. And what pleases Krishna determines our spiritual advancement. We sing every morning, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagati Kutopi. When you please Guru, Krishna's pleased. If you displease Guru, you cannot please Krishna. There's no independent way that you can approach him. That's Krishna's plan. And what is that plan based on? It's based on the exchange of the ecstasy of love. Because a proper guru is one who surrenders to Krishna. Body, mind, word, life surrenders to Krishna. So Krishna is reciprocating with that love. Love me, love my dog. This is a Western idea, but it's very much becoming popular in India also. If somebody loves their dog, which people really love their dogs in the West, oftentimes he's the only person in the family that nobody fights with. Sometimes we say, you're fighting like cats and dogs, yes? But actually, everybody's fighting with the brothers, with the sisters, with the mother and the father and the husband and the wife. They're all fighting, but everyone likes the dog. So love me, love my dog. So the devotee is like the dog of Krishna. Sarvasya Tomar, that beautiful song of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. I just want to be your dog, Krishna. And because a devotee wants, just that means I just want to carry out your order as it is. I just want to please you. That is love. And therefore Krishna loves those who love him. And the devotees love those who love Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so eager to see that Pradyumna Mishra got the mercy of Ramananda Rai. And Pradyumna Mishra says, I didn't hear anything about Krishna from Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya said, why not? Very difficult to explain, but he didn't have time for me. You know what he was doing? He was massaging even the private parts of young girls. Now, Pradyumna Mishra is a first-class sattvic Brahmin. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him that Ramananda Rai, he doesn't feel the slightest material experience when he does that. For him, the body of the opposite sex is like touching a piece of stone because there's just no inclination toward material enjoyment in his heart. Lord Chaitanya said, I cannot do that, but Ramananda Rai, he's the only one who could do that. No one can imitate him. If you imitate Ramananda Rai, spiritually, you're finished. Hare Krishna. But that was his quality. He was so absolutely immersed in ecstatic love that there was just no inclination for enjoyment on the bodily or mental platform.
In fact, it is explained that in the spiritual world, he's Vishaka. One of the two most confidential associates of Srimati Radharani in her loving service to Krishna. And one of the services of Vishaka is to do just this. To decorate the gopis and do all these other things, to dance and sing for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So he was just in his spiritual state of consciousness performing his eternal service for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. Just for Jagannath's pleasure, nothing else. All this effort just for the pleasure of the deity. And when Lord Chaitanya was speaking the glories of Ramananda Rai, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the strictest of all sannyasis, and he's glorifying somebody who's doing like this. And he's the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows everyone's innermost intentions. Yes? And he understood Ramananda Rai's complete pure love. He said, he is so immersed, he is so saturated with love of Krishna. Go back and listen to Krishna from him. So Pradyumna Mishra, with complete faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, he went back. Again, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't tell him anything about Krishna. He wanted Ramananda Rai to speak. And then Ramananda Rai spoke the whole day about Krishna to Pradyumna Mishra and left him utterly spellbound. He was just intoxicated with love hearing from Ramananda Rai. And after the whole day, finally, he was just so overwhelmed with gratitude and happiness. He expressed to Ramananda Rai, "This is what Lord Chaitanya said about you." And Ramananda Rai said, "Actually, I don't know anything about Krishna. Whatever he is making me say, that am I saying." He gives the example, just like the sun evaporates water from the ocean, and then the cloud pours water on the ocean. Now, does the ocean need that water? The water's coming from the ocean, going into the cloud, coming back down in the ocean. Ramananda Rai said, "Mahaprabhu is that ocean, and I'm just a little cloud. And by his mercy, he's bringing the water, he's bringing this knowledge of Krishna to me, and then I'm offering it back to him. I deserve no credit. Ramananda Rai was a grihasta. Ramananda Rai was a kayasta, which in Bengal was considered a shudra. Ramananda Rai previously was a politician. From the point of view of social observation, everything was against him from being a saint." Yes? He was a shudra. He was a grihasta. He was a politician. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Ramananda Rai to be his Shiksha Guru. And he's sending the most intelligent, first-class, pure Brahmins to learn from Ramananda Rai. So that is a brief summary of the content of this chapter. It's very elevated subject matter. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he's preparing the reader to hear what's about to come. And he's preparing the reader by expressing his own inner feelings. If you want to actually comprehend this subject matter, you have to be devoid of false pride. You have to be taking shelter. Now, you don't take shelter of something if everything's all right. Yes? He's calling Lord Chaitanya here a vaidya, a doctor. Now, does anyone take shelter of a doctor when they're in optimum health? You don't even look in the direction of your doctor when you're in optimum health, because every time you look at him, he'll charge you some money. At least today. I was in the West. I went to a doctor. You don't even see the doctor. First you see their secretary. And the secretary wouldn't even allow you to go through the door into the office of the doctor until you show an insurance card. What is an insurance card? That means 100%, without any doubt, you're going to be able to pay this gigantic bill that you're going to get for seeing the doctor.
Yes?
You go to see the doctor. You go to be seen by the doctor. And you have to pay. So Lord Chaitanya here, he's considered to be the great physician. Now, the more you're sick, the more you're desperate, the more you're going to take shelter of the doctor. Does any of you have that experience? Bhaktivedanta Hospital, whoever is... You know, when someone's really, really sick, they're taking shelter of the doctor. So unless we really feel humble, unless we really feel diseased, we cannot really take shelter of the Supreme Physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is declaring here that I am infected. Infected. That's a very powerful word. Infected means a very, very serious contamination. He says, I am infected by the germs of material activity. And then material activity for an ordinary person, that's the healthy way of life. Yes? But according to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, any material desires that impel us to perform material activities are germs. All of our material desires and aspirations are germs, and we are infected by these germs. It's an infection within our heart, our material selfish desires. And what happens when you're infected by this chronic disease of the germs of material desires? You become envious. What happens with germs? Germs are in you. The infection is there. But they also manifest as symptoms. So in this sense, he's saying that these infectious germs have manifested as the symptom of painful boils. How many of you had boils? Raise your hand if in your life you have ever had a boil. When will I see you? Very happy to see you. So boils are very painful. Too much painful. Excruciating. If you blow on a boil, it pains. If you look at the boil, it pains. When somebody has a very, very infectious boil, you're just counting the moments until the boil just breaks open and all that infectious, germ-saturated pus comes out. Yes? Pus is one of the grotesque most substances in all creation. Yes? I mean, if you relatively compare, pus is so disgusting. It's even more disgusting than urine and stool. What would you... Please forgive me. I have to dovetail my propensities too. What would you rather do? Touch someone's stool or touch someone's infectious pus that comes out of their boil? Should we take a vote? Say Hari Bol if you vote for number one.
Number one, you'd rather do the stool. This vote's not going to work, forget it.
If you touch someone's stool, you wash your hands and it's gone, you know? But if you touch someone's infectious pus, then you're going to probably get a boil yourself. Yes? It's horrible. It's disgusting. So he's saying, I'm suffering from boils due to envy. The envy of the heart causes such excruciating pain to one's consciousness. As long as you're envious, you can never find any peace. Envy is simply painful. If you appreciate another person's position or activities, that appreciation actually brings happiness and joy to the heart, does it not? But if you envy the person, it's painful, it's horrible, and it can impel you to say and do horrible things. If you appreciate, you're going to do wonderful things. So why not just be happy and appreciate others? But this infection of germs, this which causes the boils of envy, is so deeply rooted in our heart, even if we want to appreciate someone, we feel envious. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is declaring himself to be in the most pitiable, downtrodden of all conditions, in such a diseased state. And in this sense, he's not just calling the doctor on the phone and wishing him a happy birthday. He's helplessly taking shelter. And this is the way we must learn to approach God. Therefore, the great souls actually feel themselves most fallen, because with that consciousness, they can seek shelter intensely. And to the degree we absorb ourselves in the shelter of the Lord, to that degree, the Lord reciprocates and showers His infinite mercy upon us. That's the goal of life. That is bhakti. So yes, if you want to actually really benefit from this incredible story of Lord Chaitanya sending Pradyumna Mishra to hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda Rai, this is the setting that should be established within our consciousness. Janmaishwaraya Shruti Shribir Edamanamada Puman Naivar Hativatatum Vai Twam Akinshana Gocharam. As long as we're proud, as long as we're thinking everything is very nice, you cannot feelingly chant the name. Trinarapi Sunichena. When we're humble, if we actually understand what real humility is about, feeling oneself fallen, feeling oneself diseased, feeling oneself lower than all others, in that state, you can cry out from the core of your heart with great feeling, the holy name. But if we think everything's all right, it's just an empty ritual chanting the holy names. Now, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Prabhupada didn't want us miserable. He wanted us happy. But this is the way of actually finding happiness. To be humbled in feeling ourselves so fallen, then when we chant the holy name, we feel actual, real spiritual bliss. That's the only happiness. Anyone can find fault with others. If we enjoy finding faults with others, then at the time of death, Yamaraj and his Yamadutas are going to tell you all your faults, and you're going to have to pay for them.
Hare Krishna.
But if we're free of the tendency to find fault with others, then at the time of death, Krishna is going to take us back to Goloka Vrindavan. Do you think he wants fault finders in Goloka Vrindavan? Not at all. Yamaraj is the person who deals with such fault finders.
Hare Krishna.
So Kunti is giving us this nice instruction. How to actually take shelter. And this should be the very basic preliminary endeavor of a real devotee to humble themselves. Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, they don't just talk about Krishna's ras. Because unless you wholeheartedly, completely surrender to Krishna, you cannot comprehend his ras. It's not intellect. Ras is not an intellectual subject matter. It's a subject of the very innermost chambers of the heart. It's based on realization. That is what ras is about. It is said that the concept of parakīya bhāva for an advanced devotee is something that is kept very privately within the inner chambers of the heart. And meanwhile, that devotee on the external platform very strictly follows the path of Vaidhi Bhakti. It's very internal. It's not something to show off. It's not just intellectual. People could talk about it, but what is that? Unless you're talking about it with somebody who can actually really realize it. It's just oftentimes just false ego. So here we find this principle being very beautifully expounded, that our real spiritual situation is based on the humility of our heart, based on how we're actually taking shelter, surrendering. Therefore, the great acharyas put more emphasis on the miseries of material world to those who are not liberated paramhamsas. Yes? And we have seen on occasions people who discuss very, very, very high topics to their followers end up usually becoming degraded and fighting with each other. What is their realization? Oftentimes even envious of each other. Better to establish the premise of really trying to convince people the miseries of material existence. It's birth, old age, disease, and death. Krishna really speaks about the miseries of material existence in Gita. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avatanorjana mamupetyatu kondaya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this world, Brahmaloka, to the lowest, Patalaloka, which includes this little earth planet, they're all places of, what does he say? Does he say jubilation? He says they're all places of misery. That's Krishna speaking. Now who knows better, you or Krishna? Who knows better, the script writers of the cinemas in Bollywood or Krishna? Krishna knows, absolutely. He's the creator of this whole, he's the creator of Brahmaloka to Patalaloka. He knows how it works. They're all places of misery. The whole material world is essentially a place of misery. And there's pleasures, but the purpose of pleasures in this world is to only incriminate us in more attachment, so we'll suffer later. It's not a very pleasing philosophy to a materialist, but to a devotee, it's ecstatic. We have to understand it. We have to know it. Unless we understand what this material nature is, how it works, and why it works the way it does, we will not surrender to Krishna. I haven't started my class yet. I'm just trying to speak something Gauranga Prabhu has given for me to say. He picked this verse today. What was I saying? Misery. I was going to say something very nice, but I forgot what I was going to say. But maybe it will come. Very well. The subject of misery is very engrossing. But when we come to this world, we become entangled. We become entrapped. And Krishna descends into this world to teach us how to get out of this trap. But before we can even make an endeavor, we have to be convinced that we're in a trap. Otherwise, you'll be making all glorious arrangements within this trap to try to enjoy. Thus, our beloved acharyas, on the basis of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, try to convince us of the very, very tenuous situation of our life. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala bhajahun hari badani today. All our wealth, our families, our health, life itself is compared to a drop of water on a lotus leaf. How long will that drop remain? We're thinking it's going to stay there, but it's not. At any moment, padam padam yad vipadam natesham, at any moment, everything could change. We don't know. Tidal waves, earthquakes, envious nations directing nuclear bombs at one another. We don't know what will happen at the next moment. And even within our own bodies, we don't know what germs are there that might be just, you know, coming together to create some horrible disease. It's not that we have to fear these things. A devotee is fearless. Why? Because he knows whatever happens, I have Krishna. Whatever happens, I'm safe, I'm protected. Because by the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas, I know where to take shelter. In the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
So when we have this consciousness, then we are actually able to assimilate mercy. We're able to digest the Lord's love and kindness. If you're not hungry, you can't really digest things very well. If you're just, your stomach is nauseous, and you just have no, just the thought of food makes you practically vomit. Can you digest the Gorp, the Jagannath Mishra Utsav feast? Not at all. But if you're hungry, hunger
Hunger creates digestion. So I don't know how you say it in India. Usually you say everything in a better way, with some more class and subtlety. But if somebody's really puffed up and really just infatuated by false ego in the West, do you know what people say? You're full of it. And you know what that it is? Huh? The it really means stool. You're full of it. Yes, Tridas Prabhu? That means even they, in their own... they're saying when you're really egoistic, you're full of stool. That means your ego is just stool. You're full of it. Huh? So when we're puffed up, we're full of it. So we have no appetite. But when you're humble, when you're actually humble, when you actually feel yourself in the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in a diseased condition, desperately needing help, unable to help yourself, in that condition, you can take shelter. You could surrender. You can, when you're really, really hungry in this way, when the Jagannath Mishra Utsav comes, you can take prasad to your full satisfaction and be happy. And that is what Krishna consciousness is about. Being happy. But not false shadow happiness. Coming into the light of real eternal happiness. And it was this happiness that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the world to give. And I'll tell you a couple stories of how Lord Chaitanya made people happy, with your permission. We were speaking yesterday how Nimai was very much eager to induce the ladies of Navadvip to chant the names of Lord Hari. All he would do is cry. Now, you know, even ordinary little Jivatma babies, when they cry, they really get a lot of tension and sympathy. Yes? Especially during Bhagavatam class. By the way, when we're on this subject of this baby crying, yesterday we inaugurated a wonderful facility for Radha Gopinath Temple. Do you all know about this? It is the children's room. It is for mothers with babies. Sita Devi, you could inaugurate it just now with your little Vrindavaneshwari Devi. Downstairs, just next to the gift shop, on that side, that means toward the Prasadam Hall, there is a room with a closed circuit TV with very good sound system, so you could see the class, you could hear the class with your baby, and no one sees or hears you. It's one of the most wonderful facilities we've ever created. Because mothers are so eager to hear about Krishna. But they don't know what they should do. If they come in, there's the risk that they're going to disrupt everything. So sometimes they don't come in and they don't hear, or sometimes they come in and they actually disrupt everything. So for mothers with small children and babies, there is a facility with nice soft couches and a full color monitor TV and a beautiful sound system, so you can be in, it's Achintya Beda Beda. It's simultaneously you're in class and not in class. You get all the benefits of class without, it's air conditioned also. It's air conditioned. And you can control the air conditioner according to your sweet will. People are going to people are going to start having children just so they could listen to Christ. Just to have the exclusive rights to listen to class in an air-conditioned hall. Everybody up here is suffering the heat and the congestion and everyone, AC. And you don't have to sit on the hard floor, you could sit on a nice couch. But you're only allowed there if you have a baby. Even men are going to start wanting to take care of their babies. So anyways, that hall has been inaugurated on Gaur Purnima, so it is all auspicious. So if you would like, if you don't use it, then we'll do something else with it. But I think it's a wonderful facility. And that will be open for every single Srimad Bhagavatam class, every Sunday feast lecture, and every festival lecture. And the rest of the daytime, it will be used for meetings and preaching to guests and things like that. If you come to the temple with someone and you want to just sit down in a comfortable place and discuss Krishna consciousness, that is also a place. And yesterday we also inaugurated Radha Gopinath's reception room right in front of the temple. For the first time in the history of this temple, we have a reception office where people who don't know what to do can find out what to do. And if you want to meet any of the brahmacharis, just go to reception and that person will call him and he will come down and meet you. Because guests are not allowed in the brahmachari ashram. Yes? And yesterday we inaugurated the very beautiful Dairam exhibit. And we inaugurated officially Vrindavan Garden. What else? Gopal Darshan. Did all of you see Gopal's darshans? It is a beautiful pictorial presentation of the various extraordinary darshans of Sri Gopal over the last year or so. So the Lord's mercy is causeless. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mercy was of the most magnanimous nature. When he was a child, he would cry. And when he would cry, that's how we got on the subject of babies, he would attract everyone's attention. Because crying usually means the child is suffering. And if you love someone, it's unbearable to see someone suffer. Yes? Now for brahmacharis, when childs cry, they only think of their own suffering. And anybody except the parents is usually like, but for a parent, when a child cries, you know, what can I do for you? Do you want my milk? Or do you want some toy? Or do you want some attention? Sometimes children, they pretend to cry just because they want your attention, because they know it works. Yes, Lord, it's very powerful. It's called crocodile tears. Sometimes ladies are expert at this too. I have heard, people have told me, that a woman's ultimate weapon is her tears. Hare Krishna. Cry. Oh. All right, whatever you want, you know. You husbands may have had this experience. So Lord Chaitanya would cry, and they'd all come up. They couldn't tolerate seeing him in distress, and there was only one way to relieve him of that distress. He didn't want anything else. except for his devotees to chant the names. And as we discussed yesterday, the way that they chanted the names was in the most perfect state of consciousness. They didn't want anything for themselves. It wasn't mixed with fruitive activities. It wasn't mixed with desire for liberation. It wasn't mixed with desire for yogic siddhis. It was only for the pleasure of Nimai. That's how we should chant. We're chanting just because it pleases Krishna. I may not feel like chanting, but that shouldn't even be a consideration. Krishna likes us to chant. And to show our love, we chant. And by showing our love, Krishna gives us love. By exercising our intent to love is the process of receiving love. Now, we may not have any real love, but if we just follow the regulative principles, chant the holy names, and serve in a spirit of humility, and act as a compassionate instrument of the Lord, that is the way we show Krishna our intent to love him. And according to how we show our intent with all earnestness and sincerity, Krishna reciprocates and gives us the real experience of divine love. It is not something cheap. That is actually the meaning of surrender. Surrender means to please Krishna. We show our intent to love him by doing whatever it is that will please him. Even if it's difficult, or it may be very easy, that's not very important. Daruka was fanning Krishna as a service to please Krishna. It was obviously hot that day, so he didn't want Krishna to undergo the heat. He was fanning Krishna. And as he was looking at Krishna's beautiful, beautiful form, Satchidananda, his heart was just melting in ecstasy, and that was causing tears to flow profusely from his eyes. Now, most of us would want to experience that ecstasy and cry. But he was actually condemning his ecstatic symptoms because it was blurring his vision. It was impeding his capacity to very proficiently, expertly fan Krishna. He didn't care about being in ecstasy. He cared about pleasing Krishna. That is love. So in this way, Nimai would cry, and the ladies would come together and clap their hands and loudly chant the holy name. One day, Nimai cried. And they were all blissful. The chants. They all performed Nam Sankirtan, clapping their hands, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But Nimai just cried louder. So he was crying, wouldn't stop crying, he was wailing. So, this is the foolproof, guaranteed way to make Nimai smile in bliss, is chanting the holy names. So again they chanted, even with more devotion, with more intensity, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. He kept crying. This was out of his character completely. So finally, the whole family and the friends and the neighbors were gathered around. They couldn't get him to stop crying. So finally they said, "Nimai, Nimai, what do you want? What do you want? We're chanting the holy names. What else do you want?" And little Nimai said, "I want the offering made for Ekadasi, prepared by Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. I want the offering they have made to Lord Vishnu." So Jagannath Mishra said, "This is impossible. This is against all culture and etiquette for us to go there and ask for the offering that they're offering to Vishnu on Ekadasi." And other people said, "No, no, Nimai, whatever you want, we'll get anything, anything, we'll get it." So they ran over to Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit, delivered this message that Nimai wants to eat the offering that you have presented to Lord Vishnu. And they were thinking, this is extraordinary. How did he know? He's just a small child. How did he know it's Ekadasi today? And besides that, how did he know that today, something we never do, we've done, we made a wonderful, wonderful feast offering to the deities? He's an extraordinary child. So they were filled with bliss. And they just packed up all the preparations and went to the house of Jagannath Mishra. And they put all the preparations down and said, "Nimai, you enjoy everything you like." And when Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit were looking at little Nimai, they were thinking in their heart of hearts that this is the Gopal of Gokul, who is performing his leelas in Navadvip. This realization they had in their hearts. And Nimai tasted just a little of each preparation. And then he smiled, drenching everyone with the nectar of the beams of his smile. One day, little Nimai was playing with his friends. They would play so many games. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that every game that has ever been played by any child in the history of the world, Nimai played those games. All nice games. So one day he was playing with his friends and they found a litter or a group of newborn baby puppy dogs. And they all started playing with the dogs. And Nimai, they were all picking dogs for themselves. But Nimai picked the most beautiful of all puppies. And one of his friends said, "Nimai, why did you pick the best, most beautiful puppy, and you're leaving all the ugly ones for us?" And Nimai said, "No." He said, "I'll bring him home to my home, and all of us could go to my house, and we'll all play with this beautiful puppy. Come, let us go." So they were happy. They all went to Nimai's house. At that time, Sachimata had just finished her duties, and along with her friends, she went to the Ganga. So there was no one home. So Nimai comes with his friends and they're playing with the puppy. So much nice playing. They were rolling in the dust with the puppy and they were holding the puppy over their shoulders and they were holding so many nice games with puppy. And as they were playing with puppy, two of Nimai's friends got in an argument. As they were quarreling, Nimai chastised one of his friends. He said, "Why every day do you always quarrel with someone else?" And this friend got very angry at Nimai. He said, because you took the most beautiful puppy for yourself, that's why." And then he stormed out. And as he was going out, he happened to come upon Sachi Devi, who was just on her way home. He said, "Sachi, you should see what your son Nimai is doing. Inside your house, he has brought a dog. And he's putting the dog over his shoulders, and he's rolling in the dirt with the dog, and he's putting the dog on his head." Huh? Sachi was shocked. Immediately she rushed home, and she came in, and what did she see? Nimai and his friends affectionately playing with puppy. She became very disturbed. She said, "Nimai, you are the son of a Brahmin, a very religious man. Why are you spoiling our caste, spoiling our tradition by bringing this dog into your house? Do you not know what is right and what is wrong? What is clean and what is dirty? Look at how dirty you are. And you're playing with this dirty puppy dog. What will happen? You're the son of a great Brahmin. If the people in general find out, you will lose your reputation. Our family will lose its reputation. Haven't we taught you the proper way to live? Your complexion is like shining gold. Your every limb is more splendid than the blossomed lotus flower. Why are you behaving like this? If this is what you want, then you play with your puppy dog, and myself and your father, we will have nothing to do with you. Seeing you in this condition, I am ready to die." But Nimai really had affection for this puppy. And she saw this. But when she looked at Nimai's beautiful form closer, her heart melted and all her anger went away. And she just embraced Nimai and said, "Nimai, please go to take your bath. And I'll have nice prasad for you when you come back. And I'll take care of your dog. I'll watch your dog until you return." So then Nimai accepted. So then she massaged Nimai's body with fine scented oils. And then she sent him to Ganga to take his bath. Meanwhile, just before Nimai left, he tied his puppy to a post and said, "Please be sure you watch and protect my puppy, and be sure he's here when I come back." And Sachi said, "Yes, yes, of course." So Nimai went. And after he left, Sachi Mata untied the puppy and sent him to go away. One of Nimai's friends saw him do this. So Nimai's friend ran to the Ganga, said, "Nimai, Nimai, your mother just sent the puppy away." Huh. Nimai was very angry and very disturbed. He just came right out of the Ganga and ran home and said, Mata, where is puppy? Where is my puppy?" She said, "Oh, puppy? It's over here, isn't it? Isn't he still tied up over there?" He said, Mother, you sent my puppy away. You don't understand. You do not understand, Mother. This puppy is very, very dear to my heart. Dear to my heart. You don't understand how much happiness I was having playing with this puppy. Why did you send him away?" And Nimai was weeping tears, trembling. Sachi Mata picked up Nimai and embraced him, putting him on her lap, and started kissing him with great motherly affection, and said, "Nimai, maybe someone stole your puppy, or maybe your puppy escaped, but you eat your nice food now. I have sandesh, and I have so many nice preparations that I've prepared for you. You take your lunch, and I'll find the puppy and bring it back.
So she started feeding Nimai with wonderful, wonderful prasad that she cooked with her own hands. And Nimai was very satisfied. With her own hands, she was wiping the tears from Nimai's eyes and feeding him. Now Satimata is cooking with an infinite quantity and quality of love. Krishna accepts the feeling, the devotion that is put in the preparations. He doesn't eat food. He eats bhakti. Yes? If you cook for the deities in a bad state of consciousness, Krishna is not going to enjoy that. Even if everyone else says, oh, you are such a wonderful cook. Yes? That is why we only have Brahmins cooking. Because Brahmins are people who for many years have been chanting their rounds or following the regulative principles. They understand the philosophy nicely. Therefore, they're in the proper consciousness to actually understand what Krishna likes. He likes not only the preparation being made to the maximum capacity of our ability, but really what he loves is the intention, the consciousness in which we're cooking. So what ecstatic bliss Nimai was in when he would eat the food cooked by Satimata. Her love for Nimai was so deep. So as he was eating, he was very happy. Some days later, a miracle took place. That little puppy, which by social definition was just a street dog, that little puppy, because it was touched by Nimai, because Nimai showed affection, mercy, that puppy began to chant the holy names. Not like this. Ruff, 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 ruff. Not like that. He was actually articulating the holy names. He was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Mukunda, Murari, Govinda. He was actually speaking the names of Krishna. That was the power of Mahaprabhu. And as he was chanting, tears of ecstasy were pouring like torrents from his eyes. And his hairs, all the hairs on his body were standing on end, straight. And his limbs, all of his limbs were trembling. And his puppy was dancing in ecstasy. When people heard this puppy chanting Krishna's names, and they saw the ecstatic transformations on this puppy's dogs, they were struck with wonder. Crowds and crowds and crowds of people were just gathered around this puppy dog as he was just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Even the people started chanting and dancing with the dog. And then right in front of everyone's eyes, this little tiny puppy who was manifesting the supreme spiritual perfections dropped dead. Hare Krishna. What a beautiful life. Dropped dead while chanting in kirtan in ecstatic love. At that very moment,
a magnificent airplane came from Goloka Vrindavan, descended. It was a golden airplane with many beautiful domes. There was ornaments made out of priceless jewels. Pearls strung on threads decorating the various parts of this wonderful, wonderful carrier. And there was Gandharvas and Kinaras singing beautiful hymns and fanning the puppy with chamara. The puppy boarded that beautiful Vaikuntha airship and manifested right before everyone's eyes his original spiritual body, his eternal form. And then with chanting and glorification of Radha Krishna and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the airship began its journey to Goloka. When the demigods saw this, they were overwhelmed. This was unbelievable. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, all these demigods gathered together and gathered around the spaceship, the Vihana, Vimana. And they were also singing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. They were expressing amongst each other that as demigods, they had seen so many of the various incarnations of God, but they have never seen such an extent of mercy as this. Even Krishna himself never gave such mercy with no discrimination whatsoever. That Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he has taken an insignificant baby dog, given him ecstatic love of Godhead, and sent him to Goloka. There is no incarnation that is as merciful as Gauranga. And then the demigods, in their high position, they were praying from the core of their hearts that by Lord Gauranga's causeless mercy, they would become fortunate like this dog. The demigods were praying for the position of dogs to get Lord Chaitanya's kindness. And in this spirit, with the glorification of the devatas, this little puppy dog returned back home, back to Godhead, to eternally participate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan of the Holy Name. One day, Sachi Mata, who was always concerned with Nimai's health, she wanted to perform a puja to the goddess Shashti. Shashti is the goddess that takes care of small children. So Sachi Mata wanted, she was a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But please understand, she was doing this as a service to the Supreme Personality. She wanted every possible way to protect Krishna, or Nimai. So she, with her friends, arranged for a puja of Shashti in the temple of Shashti under a banyan tree. And she prepared nice sweets, sandesh and other such delicacies, and put them in a proper plate and covered it with cloth and went to bring it to offer to Shashti for the purpose of praying for Nimai's safety and good health.
While she was on her way, Nimai just happened to be playing in that area. And on the pathway, he blocked the path and put both of his arms extended like this so she could not cross the path. And she said, "What do you want, Nimai? What do you want?" And Nimai said, "What is in that plate that's covered with cloth?" And she said, "This is an offering to the goddess Shasti. I'm going to bring this to the goddess Shasti to pray for your well-being and your good health." And Nimai, very, very strongly presented his mind. He said, "You do not understand, Mother. You don't understand what I'm going through. I am so hungry. My belly is burning with hunger. I cannot tolerate it." And Satchimata said, "Well, you just wait just a couple minutes. Let me offer this to Goddess Shasti, and then I'll come back and give you all the prasad you want." And Nimai said, "You don't understand. I cannot wait." And he lifted off the cover and just grabbed the sweets and put them right in his mouth. Satchidevi said, "What are you doing? Do you know this is for a demigod? Do you have no respect even for the demigods?" And Nimai smiled and ran away. So then she went back. She couldn't offer it anything else to Shasti because Nimai actually ate it all. So she went to the temple and she said, "Oh Goddess Shasti, please forgive my little Nimai. He's so restless. He's so naughty. He's so disobedient. Please, please forgive him for his offenses. Please protect him. Please give him good health. Please make him happy." That was her prayer. And then Satchimata put straw between her teeth and she went to her friends who were also gathered there with straw in her teeth and prayed, "Please, my little Nimai is so naughty. He doesn't listen to anything I tell. Please bless him. Bless him that he will be happy and healthy always." Actually, I forgot the most important part of the story.
Rewind.
When Satchimata was telling Nimai that, "Why are you taking what belongs to the demigods?" Nimai quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, "Mother, do you not know that I am the source of everything that exists? I am the cause of all causes. When one waters the root of a tree, then every branch, limb, twig, and bark of the tree is completely satisfied. Similarly, when one puts food in the stomach, then all the organs and all the limbs of the body are satisfied. Similarly, if one satisfies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the 33 million demigods are happy." So he actually spoke the truth about himself. But Satchimata just thought this was another form of his restless, naughty behavior. Her motherly affection did not allow her to understand the truth that her son had spoken. One day, Murari Gupta, who was a teacher, and a great, great Ayurvedic doctor, he was walking with some of his students, and he was speaking on the yogic shastras. And little Nimai was playing with his friends, and he saw Murari Gupta speaking yoga shastras. So Nimai started walking right next to Murari Gupta, and imitating everything Murari Gupta was doing and saying.
Murari Gupta would move his hands in a gesture, and Nimai would move his hand with the same gesture, but in such an exaggerated way, just to ridicule Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta would move his head in a certain way, and Nimai would, in a very exaggerated way, move his head the same way. Murari Gupta would say something, and whatever he said, Nimai would say the same thing in a voice that really mimicked. And Murari Gupta became very angry. But even when he tried to chastise Nimai, Nimai would say the same words in such a way to make him even more angry. Murari Gupta said, "You are so restless, you are so misbehaved, you are so disrespectful, and you are the son of Jagannath Mishra. Everyone respects and adores you as Nimai, but now I see what you are really like." And Nimai looked at him and said, "Today, at midday, during your lunch, I'm going to give you a realization that is wonderful." And then Nimai ran away. So Murari Gupta forgot all about all this. And he went home, and he sat down on the floor, and was served his lunch. Very nice lunch prasad. Meanwhile, Nimai decorated himself very opulently. He put on bright colored cloths, and tied his hair in a nice top knot, and put beautiful ornaments on, and put cudgel around his eyes, made himself very, very specially decorated. And he came to Murari Gupta's house right while Murari was taking lunch. And when Nimai walked in a very loud, thundering voice, he called out, "Murari!" And Murari looked at Nimai and remembered at that time that he said he was going to come and give me a wonderful realization. But he came right during lunch. So Murari said, "Nimai, what do you want? Why have you come?" And Nimai said very respectfully, he said, "Murari, it can wait. Just carry on eating your lunch. Enjoy your lunch." So Murari became completely absorbed in enjoying his lunch. And Nimai just came one step at a time closer. Murari was so absorbed in lunch, he didn't know Nimai was coming closer. He was just eating. Prasad. And Nimai, little closer, and then all of a sudden, Nimai passed urine on Murari Gupta's plate. Soaking his prasad with urine. Murari Gupta was shocked. He was not expecting such a thing. Like, said, "Nimai, shame on you. This is disgusting. How can you do this? What have you done?" And then Nimai started clapping his hands and smiling and laughing and dancing right in the house. Right around the plate of urine prasad, he was dancing and smiling and saying, "Oh, Murari, I've come to teach you a good lesson. You have mixed the path of bhakti with karma and jnana. If you want to actually do real bhajan to Lord Krishna, you must be free from all of these material desires, from all of these material aspirations. Only when your devotional service is free from karma, jnana, or any other material motivation can you actually enter into the blissful state of pure bhakti in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan." And he was smiling and laughing and saying these things, and then he disappeared. Vanished. Murari Gupta was thinking, "This is incredible. This is wonderful. Where did he go?" So he went right to Nimai's house, and there he saw Nimai in the arms of Sachimata.
Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, they loved Nimai so much that they would take turns hugging him and embracing him and kissing him and putting him on our laps. That was their leela. They would just embrace him and just smother him with their affection, and then Sachimata would hand him to Jagannath Mishra and he would do the same thing, and then they would share Nimai in the spirit of service. So Murari Gupta came in and he saw Nimai being smothered by the love of his parents on their lap, and he started offering his repeated obeisances, dandavat obeisances, to the child. They said, "What are you doing? You are the greatest of all the doctors." Why? And Murari Gupta says, "You do not understand who your child is." So through this very wonderful story, there is a great instruction. That when we mix our devotional service with fruitive activities or the desire for liberation, it's like passing urine in pure Bhagavat Prasad. Yes? We're spoiling it. Therefore, on the basis of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Rupa Goswami has given us this prayer. Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navitam anukulena krishnanu silanam bhakti ruttama. Now what is pure devotional service? It must be unmixed with any other aspiration except the pleasure of the Lord. Unmixed with the desire for mystic powers, unmixed with the desire for fruitive enjoyment, unmixed with even the desire for liberation. Pure devotional service is that service which is favorably offered exclusively for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give. Devotees asked Prabhupada, "If you just compromise your teachings, we could have huge masses coming to become devotees." Prabhupada said, "There's already so many huge masses joining different religious organizations. The specific purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to give what practically no one else is giving. Pure, unalloyed devotional service. If we compromise, yes, we'll have large crowds, but we'll be just like everyone else, just mixing love of God with so many other things." Krishna consciousness movement is based on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his life and message, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the special feature of Bhagavatam? Dharma projita kaitarvatam parama nirmatsadanam satam nigama kalpataror galitam palam sukam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit on the tree, the desire tree of Vedic literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all kaitava dharma, what most people consider the highest aspiration of spirituality. Srimad Bhagavatam calls cheating religion. Exclusively based on pure, unalloyed, unconditional love. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir bhokshaji ahoita ki aprati hataya yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotional service to the Lord. For such devotional service to completely satisfy themselves, it must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. That is the Bhagavatam. Prahlad, he would rather be thrown into a pit of venomous snakes than to compromise. Ambarish. Even great, powerful, mystic yogi trying to murder him when he was absolutely faultless. He didn't care anything for himself. He was only concerned with the welfare of Durvasa Muni, totally taking shelter of Krishna. This is Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj, cursed to die in 7 days, and takes it as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna and is grateful. And it culminates in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, where the gopis and the gopas, their only life was Krishna's satisfaction. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. No worship of demigods for material interests. No worship of God for material interests. Whatever pleases you, that is pure service. So yes, it sounds like a pretty gross thing to mix urine with Mahaprasad. But from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever we mix our material desires with devotional service, that's what we're doing. Whenever we take to the path or discuss the path or pay attention to the path of karma kanda, jnana kanda, yoga kanda, what we're doing is we're just passing urine in this pure Mahaprasad of bhakti. Hare Krishna. But if it was Nimai's urine, that would be very nice. So this is the statement of Nimai to the world. If we really want the ultimate satisfaction of the soul, exclusive devotional service in the line of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nimai and his friends, some of the games they'd play is they would see the footprints of birds, and they would count the birds' footprints and calculate. One time, Nimai, small child, gathered his friends together on the bank of the Ganges and induced them to chant Krishna's names. They were chanting, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
And Nimai was so pleased that they were chanting, even though he was a child and they were children, he was taking them on his lap and embracing them. And when he embraced them, they became ecstatic. They went back to this little game and they were going, Hari Hari! And they were dancing in ecstasy, all sorts of wonderful, wonderful symptoms of love were on their bodies as they were just dancing and jumping like madmen. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And the people coming by, they were seeing this and they never, it was a wonderful sight. Some very elderly, grave, Vedic Brahmin pundits were walking along the Ganga. And they happened to see all these children just like mad. They were just, Hari, 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 Hari. And they were dancing and jumping and leaping and embracing each other and rolling on the ground. Hari, Hari, Hari. And Nimai was orchestrating everything very nicely. And the pundits, just by the association with these little children, they lost all of their gravity. And all of a sudden, these elderly scholars put their books down and started jumping up and down like little children with tears in their eyes crying, Hari, 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 Hari! Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And the people passing by, this is extraordinary. These grave Vedic scholars are just jumping around and rolling around with little children. But they didn't care. Nobody cared. In fact, the people who were thinking that, all they became intoxicated by the whole situation, and they started jumping and rolling and dancing. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And Sachimata came. And she saw the scene. And she took Nimai in her lap and embraced him and chastised the pundits. She said, what have you done?
What have you done to my son? You are supposed to be grave scholars, Brahmin, pundits. What have you done? Look at this. Due to your influence, my little son has become a madman, jumping and jumping and jumping. Look at what you have done. Why have you done this? And the pundits just, they became very grave. They did not know what to say. And all the people standing around heard Sachimata chastising that you are polluting my son, making him a madman. And they were thinking, why is she saying like this? And then she took Nimai home. Should I continue? Nimai became so restless that after school, he would go with his friends to play in Ganga for 6 continuous hours every day. And they would do so much mischief. Sometimes they would, because the Brahmins were going there to perform their rituals. The ladies were going there to perform their ceremonial duties. And they would just splash and kick water and spit water in so many ways that nobody found any peace in the Ganga. People would come out of the water and Nimai and his friends, they would throw sand on them. Cover their body with sand, so they had to go back in and bathe, and then they throw sand on them, and they have to come back in again. Everybody was coming out, they were throwing sand, so they have to keep coming back. And they're trying to do their Gayatris, or trying to do their prayers, and they're splashing and splashing and splashing, and making so much noise. So one day, the Brahmins came to complain to Jagannath Mishra. Right in the midst of Nimai and his friends causing chaos in the Ganga, they left the Ganga and went to the Yoga Peeth. And they said, Jagannath Mishra, first they took dust from his feet, put on his head. Jagannath Mishra, you are a very great, learned, and pious Brahmin. You don't know what your son is doing. He's causing havoc. Every day, he's in the Ganga. For hours and hours and hours with his friends. He kicks us. He kicks water in our faces. He splashes water in our faces. Even when we're sitting and trying to meditate. One Brahmin said, I was sitting on the bank of the Ganga doing meditation and all of a sudden, psh, 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 they were just splashing and kicking water all over me. Spoiled my meditation. Another Brahmin said, after I did all my rituals and all of my bath and I was coming out, Nimai came up to me with an entire mouth full of Ganga water and spit all over my face. Another said, when we get finished bathing, those boys headed by Nino, they throw sand all over our bodies so that we cannot meditate. Another Brahmin said, when I was doing the meditation, he came before me and just spoiled my meditation, splashed water right in my face and said, on whom do you meditate? I am the supreme object of everyone's meditation. Another Brahmin said, I was worshipping Shiva Lingam, and right in the middle of the worship, he ran up and stole my Shiva Lingam. Another Brahmin said, that's not so bad. He stole my clothes. I came out of the Ganga. There was no clothes. Another Brahmin said, I was performing a puja. I set up a beautiful throne for my deity of Vishnu with offerings. And Nimai sat on the throne of Vishnu and sitting on the throne ate all the offerings and said, these offerings are meant for me and me alone. Another Brahmin said, I was in the water, half submerged according to the Vedic rules, and I was chanting my Gayatri Mantra. Om Bhur
And suddenly, Nimai, he swam underwater. I didn't even see where he was coming from. And he grabbed my feet and pulled me down. Another Brahmin said, I was sitting and I was reading Bhagavad Gita and he ran by and stole my Bhagavad Gita. Another Brahmin said, while we were bathing in Ganga, we put our little babies on the bank and Nimai ran up and put water in the ears of the babies and made them cry. Another Brahmin said, while I was doing my meditation and my prayers, Nimai came from behind me and all of a sudden jumped on my shoulders and cried out, I am Shiva, I am Shiva, and then jumped in the water and swam away. I was not able to catch him. Another man said, the ladies are at one ghat, we're at another ghat. The ladies put their saris and whatever else they wear on the ground and they go in to bathe and we put our dhotis and they bathe. Do you know what Nimai did? Do you know what he did? When all the men and all women came out of the water in their respective ghats, they found that he exchanged the clothes. The women had kopins. And the men had saris. And we couldn't, what are we going to do? None of us could go to the other to exchange. Your Nimai, he stays in the water, doesn't come out for 6 continuous hours every day, just causing chaos, total disruption. How do you expect him to maintain good health when he's remaining in water for so many long hours at a time? Actually, they loved Nimai. They were speaking these complaints just out of ecstasy, in the same way that the gopis would complain about Krishna to Yashoda. Just to taste the nectar of just talking about Nimai, they would complain against him. And then young girls approached Sachimata. They all took the dust of her feet and put on head. And the girls started saying, when we go to the Ganga to perform our duties, your Nimai, he creates so much disruption. Should we tell you a few of the things that he does? He steals our clothes. So we cannot even come out of the Ganga. Another said, he comes right up to me and insults me. Another says, he splashes water in my face. Another said, he quarrels with us. Whatever we say, he just picks quarrels. And another said that we have our offerings to the goddess Durga to get good husband. And right in the middle of when we're just about to offer, he'll pick up the offering and throw it all away. Another girl says, he throws sand in my face. Another girl says, he spat Ganga water right in my face from his mouth. Another girl said, after we finished bathing, he threw sticky, itchy okada seeds in our hair. We can't get it out. Another girl said that Nimai told me that he wanted to marry me. And another girl said that we're performing our puja to have a good husband. And Nimai will sit on the throne of the deity and he'll start eating all the offerings. And if we say, Nimai, you can't do that. Some of us will run away with the offerings. And he would give his blessing. He said, if you give me all your offerings, everything, I bless you to have a young, handsome, caring husband with 7 sons that will grow low, that will live long lives. Just give me all your offerings. And if anyone didn't give him all the offerings, he said, I curse you. If you don't give me offerings, I curse you that you will have an old, crippled husband with 4 co-wives.
Every day he does this. If we complain to our parents, they will come and quarrel with you. And Satchimata very affectionately embraced each one of the girls and said, I will talk to Nimai. According to Vrindavan Das Thakur, Satchimata and Jagannath Mishra are so fortunate to have this son. He said, if the Vedas had 10 million forms, in all of those forms together, they could not calculate the good fortune of Jagannath Mishra and Satchimata to have Gauranga as their own loving son. The Jagannath Mishra was very angry. He decided, if Nimai is disrespecting the Brahmins and disrespecting the young girls, then what will his future be? I must teach him a good lesson. I must educate him in proper conduct. So Jagannath Mishra picked up a stick and went in great anger, went to the Ganga. Meanwhile, the young girls saw Jagannath Mishra and they ran in another direction really, really fast, and they screamed out to Nimai, your father's coming, your father's coming, get away, get away. The same girls. So Nimai smiled and he told his friends, he said, when my father comes, tell him that you're waiting for me. I haven't come yet today. And then he went home by another path. He arrived at home. And when he returned home, Satchimata saw that there wasn't a trace of sign that he had bathed. His hair was absolutely dry. His whole body had a layer of dust on it. There were still ink spots on different parts of his body from doing his studies. And she picked up Nimai and put him on lap and was thinking, how is this possible? How is this possible? There's not even a slightest trace that you have bathed. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra arrived at the Ganga and he was looking this way in all directions for Nimai. And he called out, where is Nimai? Where is Nimai? And his friends smilingly called out, oh, Nimai, he didn't come today. We're still waiting for him. He's coming from the direction of our school any minute. And Jagannath Mishra was thinking, what is this? And then the Brahmins came up to him and said, oh, Mishra, Nimai has already escaped. He's gone home. He said, but please know that no one can calculate your good fortune for having a son like Nimai. We love Nimai. He brings us nothing but pleasures. Our complaints against him was only an expression of our love. Please know that. And Jagannath Mishra, he embraced the Brahmins and said, please pray for Nimai. Please bless him and please excuse him for whatever offenses he commits to you. Then Jagannath Mishra returned to his home and there was little Nimai with not a single trace of bathing. And Jagannath Mishra, seeing the ink spots and the dust on him, he said, Nimai, why? Have you no fear of offending even Brahmins by creating so much mischief? And when Nimai heard this, he said, oh, they are making false accusations against me? I haven't even gone to the Ganga today. And even though I haven't even gone, they're still complaining against me? Today, I will cause more mischief than ever. And then he ran off to the Ganga. And when he arrived, all the Brahmins and all the children and all the girls, they were celebrating the coming of Nimai, and they were just laughing and laughing, and they said, Nimai, Nimai, today you have very intelligently and expertly escaped a good beating. Should I continue? One day, after Jagannath Misra chastised Nimai to teach him proper etiquette, a Brahmin appeared in a dream. And this Brahmin said to Jagannath Misra, you do not know who your son is. It is improper for you to chastise and punish him. He's an exalted, extraordinary personality. You should not do this. It is not right. And Jagannath Misra listened very carefully, but then revealed his heart. Whoever he is, even if he's God, even if he is an extraordinary great personality or a demigod, he's my son. If I do not teach him the proper manners, how will he ever learn? This was the spirit of the parental affection of Jagannath Misra. One time Satyamata offered little Nimai a plate of sweet sandesh. And Nimai put the plate down on the ground and started eating the dirt from the ground. Satyamata saw this. She became too much disturbed. Nimai, Nimai, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You are eating dirt. I've given you such beautiful sandesh and fused rice. Why are you eating dirt? You will get sick. And Nimai said, what is the difference between eating dirt and eating this sandesh infused rice? After all, everything's coming from the earth. The sandesh and the fused rice are simply nothing more but transformations of earth. They're all the same five material elements, just in different combinations. So what is the difference? Everything is one, Mother. Everything is one. And Satyamata said, where have you learned this Mayavad philosophy? Everything is one. Yes, everything is one, but there is variations in that one, and those variations are very important to respect. Just like, yes, an earthen pot is a transformation of dirt. You can carry water in an earthen pot. But if you try to carry water in dirt, it will just cause a mess. Similarly, yes, the sandesh and nice prasad that I have prepared for you with such love, it will nourish you and make you healthy and give you energy. But if you eat dirt, you will become sick. So please accept this prasad. And Nimai was very happy. He accepted defeat from his mother. He said, why haven't you told me this nice thing before? From now on, I will be very happy to eat your prasad. So through this wonderful instant, we find that Nimai was to be Nimai Pandit, a person who can defeat anyone's argument. And then after defeating the argument, he would defeat his own argument. And then after defeating his own argument, he would defeat that argument. How is it that he was defeated in argument by his mother? Just a sweet, loving lady. He wanted to show the world that this Mayavad philosophy is so illogical. he was willing to accept defeat from a simple lady when she preached Achintya Bheda Tattva. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. I think we should end here. Tonight is another festival. These beautiful stories of Lord Chaitanya are not only most pleasing to the heart to hear, but they also contain all the essential philosophy and teachings of the Vedas. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his Sankirtan movement, he very directly taught the world the highest Siddhanta. After coming from Gaya, after taking initiation from Ishwarapuri, all he would speak about was loving devotional service to Krishna, and practically his own only activity was serving Vaishnavas, preaching, and performing Nam Sankirtan. And after he took sannyas, he spoke the highest philosophical knowledge to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Prakashananda Saraswati, through Ramananda Rai, Venkata Bhatta. And he manifests the highest principles of devotional service. But his childhood pastimes, he's mischievous, he's naughty, he's playful. But through these wonderful, wonderful pastimes, he's either directly or, in most cases, indirectly teaching the highest lessons to the world. And if we hear them in the right association, simultaneous to our heart being charmed, we will be purified and spiritually educated in the Siddhanta of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And the conclusion of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is that in this age of Kali, there's only one hope: the association of saintly persons, the name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya said, there's really only one true religion: serving the Vaishnavas and chanting Harinam. That is the essence. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. This is a message descending from Gauranga in Parampara. Tonight is Jagannath Mitra Utsav. Gaur Purnima is fast till moonrise, and then light Ekadasi breakfast. But the day of feasting is today. So the devotees are going to work very, very hard to prepare a wonderful feast to be offered to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and the prasad will be distributed to all of you. So, traditionally, on the day of Jagannath Mishra Utsav, we end early so everyone could take prasad without any rush to get home and all of that. Yes? So, the program tonight will start at 6 o'clock, and by about 8 o'clock, we will start serving prasad. Is that all right? You are happy? If you like this schedule, loudly chant Hari Bol. Much louder, please. Thank you. So tonight, prepare yourself. Come very hungry. This is worship of Lord Chaitanya. To eat lots and lots of prasad tonight is a form of worship. Thank you very much. Thank you.